This podcast is brought to you by Animega Expo. Visit animega.com.au to find out more about the event this year on September 16 and 17. Asian Pop Radio is official radio partner to Animega 2017. Come and visit our stall on the day. That's made possible by Ibis Melbourne Swanston Street, who currently have a great offer available to students wanting to attend Animega. Head to facebook.com/Asian Pop Radio and book today. Asia Wide Hits 24/7. This is Asian Pop Radio. Jay John here today having a chat with David Berthold, who is the Artistic Director of the Brisbane Festival for 2017. How are you going, David?
Doing great. I'm pretty excited, actually, leading up to our opening weekend in a couple of days.
Wow. Excited or anxious or a little bit of both?
Oh, both. Yeah, all those things, of course. Yeah, but everything seems to be going really well, fingers crossed. The good weather, you know, everyone seems to be arriving on time and everything. So, yeah, looking good.
It must be a little bit different to what the Melbourne film, the Melbourne festival people go through each year, just hoping that it doesn't rain and people can still go out.
Well, I took a good look at the long-range forecast for 22 days, and it looked as accurate as I can be, but it was looking pretty good when I looked this morning.
So, nice work. You're covering all bases, David. Points to you.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah.
So, back for another year. How many years has the Brisbane Festival been running now?
It started back in 1996, but that was every 2 years it was going then, and then it merged with the River Fire in 2009 and became annual. So it's only been annual since 2009. So it's the youngest of all the big city festivals in Australia.
Right. It's made a bit of progress since then, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been, you know, great over the last sort of, you know, 4 or 5 years especially. It's, you know, the kind of popularity of the festival and the caliber of artists that we've been able to attract has really gone through the roof. So, yeah, it's really pleasing.
I guess, like, when you're building anything up from the ground, it, you know, there's that period of time where you go from constantly trying to get people involved to probably having too many people contacting you and wanting to be involved in the lineup. Is that kind of where you're at these days?
Oh, that's all good. You know, you take a good idea wherever you can find it. Like, you know, I don't mind stealing good ideas. So, yeah, bring it on.
Well, it's obviously changed a lot over the years. How do you think the lineup has changed in the time that you've been with the organisation?
Well, I think in particular this year, there's a really strong lineup of contemporary popular music. And I think that really suits the personality of the city, because the city is pretty proud of its popular music heritage.
Yep.
You know, a lot of pretty famous bands coming from Brisbane, whether it's, you know, the Saints or the Go-Betweens or Savage Garden or Ballpark Music or, you know, Megan Washington, like heaps, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's, so having a really strong contemporary music lineup, I think really suits the city.
What exactly do you think sets Brisbane Festival apart from, you know, the same types of festival across capital cities in Australia?
Well, I think a couple of things. It's a spring festival for a start. So, you know, September is the first month of spring, and that's what we're on through September. So it's, you know, and spring in Brisbane, pretty damn good.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I think that's one thing is just what the weather and the spirit of spring does. I guess the other thing that's different from, say, Perth or kind of Adelaide, which have big fringe festivals
in
the city at the same time, there isn't a big fringe festival in Brisbane.
Right.
And that means that we can kind of take, you know, a lot of work the cream of the stuff you might find in a fringe festival and include it in our festival. So that gives us a great diversity.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
I really like that aspect of it, actually.
What have been some of your personal favourite moments of the festival over the years? Have you attended many of the events before you're involved personally?
Yeah, and, you know, I really like the social atmosphere of it. You know, we try, you know, Brisbane's a very social city, and like I say, it's spring and everything, so you want to create as many social spaces as you can.
Mm.
And, you know, this is the third year of something we call Treasury Brisbane Arcadia, and which is like a big festival village we build right on the river in front of QPAC there, and, you know, where we have a beagle tent, and we build a couple of bars and put up a few decks and food and a lot of free entertainment. You know, in fact, more this year than most years, like lots of music art in particular, but also kind of other sorts of performers. And so you can go there and actually spend all day and night there and have a great time, you know, without actually buying a ticket or anything.
You really do have such an amazing canvas to start with there, because, I mean, I know me and my partner went up there a couple of weeks ago just to thaw out a bit. We said that was the main objective, just to lay on the grass and be in the sun. And I think the thing that struck us the most was, like, walking along the river and, you know, in the park where all the pool is and the kids are out there splashing around, and there's just so many public spaces, and we're like, there are people out doing things. How does this work in winter? Like, because we're, you know, in Melbourne, everyone's just like, to hell with winter, we're just going to wait until the you know, the sun comes out again, and we'll stay inside and drink coffee and mulled wine.
That's why I really like that village space we built down there, because most of it's outdoors, and, you know, particularly at night, it's just beautiful right on the river, you know, and having a cocktail or something. And, you know, maybe you bought a ticket to a really amazing show in the Spiegel tent, and like, you know, Limbo Unhinged, or, you know, any number of kind of great bands have got on there, or circus shows and stuff. So, yeah, it's pretty special, I got to say.
How challenging is it to get the balance right? We're obviously talking about the diversity of the festival, so you've got a bit more to work with, I guess. But, you know, you've got to keep so many people happy, don't you?
Yeah, and I think, you know, any city, big city festival is in that way. So we stretch across, you know, theatre, some seriously good theatre there, and, you know, dance and music and circus and cabaret and pretty much any art form you care to name, film, visual arts, and quite often stuff that crosses all those genres as well. And, you know, you find a lot of international work doesn't take much note of genre boundaries. So, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that can be a really exciting thing. So we've got a great Swiss company coming in and started arriving today, you know, who'll be one of our big shows sort of opening in the first week. And another from Korea started arrive today. So it's pretty exciting. So not just the kind of genre performance, but also, you know, people from around the world.
You must just breathe a little bit more easily every time a plane lands and you know that the performers are on your soil.
All the ships seem to be on track, so that's good.
You've been watching the seas as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's...
So can you tell us some of the big name Asian musicians or performers from the region that have taken part in recent years?
Well, I'm particularly proud of this year. We've had a 3-year relationship with Singapore. So each year, you know, in the last 2 years, we've had 3 or 4 groups from Singapore, music, theatre particularly. And it'll be third year of that this year. Charlie Lim's coming over with the Mothership.
That's it.
He came solo to us from Singapore in 2015, but here he's with his super band. So
I asked him about that the other day. I said, "Is this the first time you're going to be in the Spiegelton?" He's like, "I've done that. I've been there before."
He was only solo last time. So looking forward to having his band in there. You know, top of, I think his new album, you know, top of iTunes album charts in Singapore. So you know, he's pretty popular, and he'll be popular for everybody. It's a great voice.
Very true.
And so we'll have a bunch of stuff from Singapore as well, including Charlie and the Mothership. But, you know, it's quite a lot this year.
How does that relationship come around, like specifically from Singapore? Because I know that their scene is just huge, like the arts and the music scene is just like flourishing. How do you collaborate with, is it through the Singaporean government? Do they support that kind of thing?
Yeah, the Singapore government has helped us, you know, and sort of contributing to some airfares and freight and things like that. So we're really grateful for that. You know, but Singapore is pretty close to Brisbane, of course.
Yeah.
And Brisbane, you know, thinks of itself as having a really close relationship with Asia Pacific generally. And, you know, I think it's really proud of that. Again, I think it's part of the personality of the city, you know, which is why this stuff from Singapore and China and Korea and Indonesia. So it's, you know, I think that's a good thing for the city to do.
Well, of those mentioned countries, 5 of those are Australian premieres for the event this year. Can you tell us a little bit about each of the acts that you have on offer that Brisbane audiences are going to get to check out?
Well, from China, a show I saw in Shanghai a couple of years ago called Under Siege, which was from Yang Liping, who is pretty famous in China as the peacock prince princess, you know, who the peacock dance, and offer a judgment so you think you can dance China.
Wow.
And she's pretty good. A lot of the performers actually are from So You Think You Can Dance China, so they're pretty damn good. And
amazing.
Across, you know, dance and martial arts and some traditional forms as well. It's like an ancient story, rather, but one of the battles between the Chu and the Han armies in ancient China. It's a spectacular show, I've got to say. Tim Yip, who designed Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
They don't do things in halves.
No, I tell you why. It's a big, expensive show.
Wow.
And, no kidding. And Yang Liping will be coming with it. And, you know, it's a kind of first kind of really major scale work. So we're, you know, we're really keen on that. That's one of our biggest works in the festival. And I mentioned Charlie from Singapore. A couple of theatre shows coming from Singapore as well. And from Korea too, actually, two shows. One called Chef, Come Dine With Me, which is a kind of, you know, kooky Korean kind of parody, if you like, of every cooking show you've ever seen in your life, television cooking show you've ever seen in your life, but with a lot of beatboxing and breakdancing and some great visual tricks and, you know, kind of K-pop feel to it, if you like. And I saw that in Edinburgh last year.
All right.
At the time of my life in that show. It was so, so much fun.
Sounds like a nice random night out.
Yeah, like if you're after a totally good night out, like anything to do, you just got to watch this cooking competition play out. But it was so much tongue-in-cheek. It's sort of like, pretty hilarious. And a band from Korea as well, called Sultan of the Disco.
All right.
Who again, a little bit parody, because it's sort of funk disco music from the 60s and 70s. Yeah, so these guys kind of dress up in costumes, some pretty cheeky lyrics, really get the audience dancing. They played at Glastonbury a couple of years ago and got the huge Glastonbury crowd, like thousands and thousands, like dancing so much they invited them back again for a second time this year. So, yeah, they were massive in Glastonbury. So,
and, you know, Korea gets, like, you know, picked on for being so cookie cutter with their pop industry. And it's good to see, like, the alternative side of music and people just not taking life that seriously and doing it their way.
Yeah, I mean, both Chef and Sultan of the Disco are, you know, like, serious party nights. Like, and, yeah, that's what I like about both.
I think you'd have to have a couple sojus before you go out for that one.
I think so. Well, Sultan of the Disco is at the Tivoli, you know, an iconic music venue in Brisbane. So, you know, I think, you know, the capacity there is about 1,500. So,
wow.
You know, it's used to playing all the, you know, great famous music artists who travel to Brisbane.
Everyone will be up out of their seat for sure.
That, totally. Absolutely. That's why we put them there. So we'll have the ball there, I think.
Amazing. Look, you guys have been doing such a great job with promotions this year. Like I said, a couple of weeks ago, I was there and there was just posters everywhere. I couldn't believe it. It was actually quite funny because I saw all these posters and then one of you guys got in contact with me while I was sitting there having lunch at one of the Saturday markets, which was like quite random.
All right, you're in Brisbane. Yeah.
I was in Brisbane. Yeah, yeah. It's just great to see it just take over the city. So I'm sure it's going to be a success. And you've got YouTube videos up there for people to sort of get a bit more of an idea and feel for things. But what is the best way for the community to find out more about the event or, you know, to book tickets, that kind of stuff?
You know, probably the website's the easiest easy way to do it now. And, yeah, there's quite a lot of info there. And, you know, there's a bit of a video for each of the shows, you know, and Senua, the band from Indonesia, as I didn't mention, which are collaborating with a dance company here in Australia. So, you know, which is a very different type of music from Java. So, I think absolutely the website, you'll get a taste of everything there.
Fantastic. Of our audience is students and always budget conscious. Is there any good news for them? Do you have any concession tickets or things like that?
Yeah, totally. The concession price is there. And I think then you get an extra, like, you know, discount if you buy more than three and,
oh, cool.
you know, and so on and so on. So, yeah, all sorts of ways in. Yeah, totally.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, David, thank you so much for having a chat to us today. Best of luck with the festival. Okay. I'm sure it's going to be amazing, and hopefully we can have you in the studio sometime.
Brilliant. That'd be awesome. Okay, thanks, man.
This podcast is brought to you by Animega Expo. Visit animega.com.au to find out more about the event this year on September 16 and 17. Asian Pop Radio is official radio partner to Animega 2017. Come and visit our stall on the day. That's made possible by Ibis Melbourne Swanston Street, who currently have a great offer available to students wanting to attend Animega. Head to facebook.com/AsianPop Radio and book today.